Welcome to the Eden Podcast, where we true the verse of Genesis 3:16, and we discover that God didn't curse Eve or Adam or limit woman in any way.
The focus of this episode is the importance of Genesis 3:16 in the New Testament. The True 3:16 Project was launched to clean up the word pollution of Genesis 3:16 and seven related passages. Here are the key New Testament passages. Where we start and end these passages is part of the key to unlocking their content. 1. Ephesians 5:15 to 6:9. 2. 1 Timothy 2:8 to 3:16. 3. 1 Corinthians 11:2 to 16. 4. 1 Corinthians 14:34 to 40, and 1 Peter chapter 3 verses 1 to 7. Let's identify the main doctrines or teachings related to Genesis 3:16 in these passages. To do so, we need to know the true version of Genesis 3:16. In her research at the doctoral level, my wife, Dr. Joy Fleming, found that God didn't curse Eve or Adam or limit woman in any way. The True 3:16 Project was launched to clean up the word pollution of Genesis 3:16 and related passages. Because of the word pollution of what 3:16 really says, how is the interpretation of the other passages set pollution fires? Some people teach the woman was the temptress. Some teach God saw evil desire in her heart and put the man in charge. Some teach a man is like Christ to a woman. Some teach that God gifts men only for public ministry. And there's more. All this can be traced back to the incorrect translation of Genesis 3:16. That's why we need a true 3:16. Ephesians chapter 5 is often misrepresented as the most important passage on marriage in the New Testament. Yet, the Apostle Paul points us to his key idea in this passage. It is the great mystery, which previously was hidden but then revealed. In verse 32, Paul says that the great truth is the unity of believers with one another, who all are joined together with Christ. Ephesians 5:15 to 6:9 is about Christ and the church. We go into this in detail in book 2 of the Eden series. It is titled Beyond Eden, Ephesians 5 and 6. I think most people have missed the flow of Paul's thoughts in Ephesians 5 and 6 because they don't take into account the whole passage. They pick only a few verses inside and focus on them. This is the recipe for taking verses out of context. It leads time and time again to missing the points being made in a passage. Let's look deeper. If you look on Amazon for Beyond Eden, Ephesians 5 and 6, here's the book description I've put there. Description. Many people look to Ephesians 5 for its teaching on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Many think Ephesians 5 and 6 is all about marriage. But the main idea of Ephesians 5:15 to 6:9 is Christ's relationship with believers and their relationships in the church. This is the great mystery now revealed in 5:32. It is essential to recognize the literary structures built into this passage by Paul. It starts with 5:15 and ends with 6:9. Paul uses a jump, jump, high jump pattern throughout. The point of the high jump, and therefore the controlling idea of the passage, is 5:32. The chapters of Beyond Eden, Ephesians 5 and 6, make special reference to this pattern throughout the book. Readers become thought leaders on this passage as they grasp the big picture and the patterns in this passage. The high jump of verses 5:22 to 6:9 takes off from verse 5:21. In verse 5:21, Paul redefines submission. The traditional vertical meaning of submission is replaced with a horizontal, reciprocating submission. Spirit-filled believers submit themselves to the teaching and correction they receive from one another, as we learn from the parallel verses of 19a and 21. Great marriages between two believers embody the kind of reciprocating care Paul teaches in this famous passage. Most of all, Christ's example embodies his sacrificial care and love for the church, Ephesians 5:22-31. Great families also embody this kind of reciprocating care. Husbands and wives do so on the horizontal level. And even in the vertical relationships of children and parents and slaves and masters, all practice reciprocating care for one another in spirit-filled and beneficial relationships. Ephesians 5:33-6:9.
Let's pause for a moment, then we'll get right back. I'm Dr. Joy Fleming, co-founder of the True 316 Foundation. We mention many great books on the Eden podcast. We are making them available to you for purchase on our website at true316.com/truebooks. That's true316.com/TRUBOOKS. These books are by our own True 316 authors, such as Bruce and myself, and by our guests on the Eden podcast. By purchasing these books on true316.com, the True 316 Foundation will be helped with a small commission, and the authors will benefit directly from the sales. We add titles regularly to our site, so check today and do some shopping at true316.com/TRUBOOKS. true316.com/truebooks.
What is not taught in Ephesians 5:15-6:9? There is no teaching on gifts of the Spirit. There is no teaching on headship in any way. There is no teaching that husbands are responsible for a wife's wrinkles, physical or spiritual. There is no teaching that wives must obey their husbands. There is no teaching that fathers are the leaders in the home any more than mothers. There is no teaching that some are called to be masters while others are called to be slaves. It is worth our time to observe the message Paul is getting across in this fifth therefore walk section of Ephesians 4-6. We learn that we are intimately united with Christ in his body, and we learn that we are built up and cared for by all the other believers in his body. Our story. When I was in grad school, I dated a bit. Each time I dated someone new, it was necessary to start from zero, to find out her favorite color, to learn if she had any pets growing up, and to see if we had any common interests we could talk about. As time passed, I felt God calling me to serve in French-speaking Africa as a missionary professor. I was accepted as a missionary candidate on my way to Bangui, Central African Republic. I lost interest in dating and going through the list of, hello, what are your interests? Then I met Joy. I was interested in everything about her. She had done some short-term mission work in South America and in Eastern Europe, but she wasn't going to Africa. She had come to seminary to learn biblical languages. She didn't plan to be a seminary professor. She didn't plan to be a pastor either. She had a heart for God and knowing God's word. Then I heard that Dr. J. Herbert Kane was scheduled to speak in Friday Chapel. He had made a huge impact on my life in moving me toward missionary service. If only Joy could hear him. But she didn't have any classes on Friday and wasn't required to go to chapel that day. Often she wasn't even on campus at all on Fridays. I didn't want to over-influence her. I wanted God to call her on her own. Then we could work side by side as missionary partners with a shared call. I may have mentioned to her that Dr. Kane was speaking and how he had powerfully influenced me. What I remember is that I prayed, Lord, bring her to chapel. Inspire Dr. Kane's message and call her to missions, please. At chapel that Friday, who walked in? Joy. The rest is history. Praise the Lord. I really mean that. As part of our missionary preparation, at the recommendation of our mission board, she completed an MDiv degree. Then, as we were learning French, we also took doctoral courses for our residency in Strasbourg, France. At that time, Joy focused on Genesis chapters 2 and 3. 7 years of research and writing later, she defended her doctoral dissertation. It was 407 pages long and power-packed. The jury in France unanimously awarded her highest honors. She had learned and she had defended her conclusion that God didn't curse Eve or Adam or limit women in any way in Genesis 2 and 3, especially in Genesis 3:16. Later, she condensed part of her work to under 50 pages and titled it Man and Woman in Biblical Unity, Theology from Genesis 2 and 3. Have you read it? It's available as a Kindle ebook from Westbow Press. You can get a copy from them or from Amazon. You can also get a free download of the audiobook version of Man and Woman in Biblical Unity from our website. Here's the link, true316.com/books. Next time, we'll look at another of the seven key passages on men and women that require a true view of Genesis 3:16 to be properly understood. The next one will be 1 Timothy chapters 2 and 3. Those chapters are covered in detail on the Eden Podcast in the episodes of Season 3.
Thanks for listening to the Eden Podcast. Do you have your own copy of the Book of Eden, Genesis 2 to 3, and our other books on the seven key passages on women and men in the Bible? Visit our website at true316.com. Do you want to go deeper? You're invited to enroll in the current study unit of True School. Take a look. Go to true316.com/school. True 316 Foundation is the home of the Eden Podcast. Join us for $3.16 a month or more. Let's true the verses on the key passages on women and men. Go to true316.com/partner. True 316 is strengthening and encouraging many, and we're getting stories every day of lives changed through our ministry. We're the home of the Eden Podcast, and we're getting the word out that God didn't curse Eve or Adam, or limit woman in any way. Our volunteer help is wonderful, and we grow stronger with each new true partner who gives to the True 316 Foundation so that we can cover the costs to do the technical work of the Eden Podcast, to coordinate our True School workshops like the two-week Eden workshop on Genesis 2 and 3, and to make the True 316 Foundation function in its outreach to scholars and students around the world. You can give now with a one-time gift. And better still, you can join now and become a monthly donor. We call our monthly donors our true partners. Please join now by going to true316.com/partner.